Let's begin. We left off on Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Again, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk says, Vayehi ki Navi. It was when Yirmiyah was giving over these words of prophecy, and suddenly one of the 25 men died. There were 25 men in the Azar. They were bowing down to the sun with their backs exposed to the hateful, relieving themselves, this disgraceful behavior in the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, "Ahi ki navi ufilat Yahu ben Binoya meis." Suddenly, this person by the name of Filat Yahu ben Binoya, he died. Voyakol al panai. Yecheskel says, "I fell flat on my face." Voezak, and I cried, "Kol gadol v'amar." And I said, "Aho, whoa, Hashem Elokim, kala ata, ise." Yisrael, are you going to bring total destruction to the end of the remnant of the Jewish people? Well, let's see. Pasuk is given in the Mitzudos David. It was when I was giving over the prophecy, the warning. I was giving over the words of prophecy in the previous pesukim. Kasher libesi hanavua shehi ki b'mara shehi ki b'mara hanavua hoye nirlo kibu b'snabe hadavar hazeh. And this something that is very, very fascinating because and it really goes back to what we learned, what we spoke about two days ago. But Yirmiyah is having a prophecy. The prophecy is not just that he is seeing things; he's seeing in advance, 6 years in advance. But he's also seeing himself give mussar to the people. When you have a dream, what do you see in your dream? I mean, all different types of dreams. But do you see yourself in a dream? Do you?
Well,
do you see yourself?
No,
what happens in your typical dream?
Usually
you're an observer? You're an observer?
You see yourself as a character, but you don't see the picture of yourself.
Right.
Okay, so, and what do you, and you see yourself speaking to people in your dream?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so it's interesting. So here it's not in prophecy. Maybe in prophecy it's not like
you
a dream.
See
I don't
your picture in the dream.
But typically when we learn about prophecy, Art Chazal, when we learn about prophecy, typically, it's a Navi is given, is an observer. He's like in a theater, and he's watching on screen what's going to happen in the future. He sees an image,
right,
and then he describes that image. It's
yes,
very
but,
rare.
But those
yeah.
events don't involve him personally,
yeah.
And he doesn't see himself.
Correct.
As
that's
it.
The
but
typical.
Here,
it's unique. That's what makes this Nevuah so unique, in that in this Nevuah, not only is Yirmiyah, he's seeing what's happening. Hashem is speaking to him, and Hashem is telling him, "I want you to relay the following message to the people." And in the Nevuah, he sees himself telling the people this prophecy. It's a very unique. You don't have this type of prophecy. I don't think in Yeshaya we ever had something like that. I can't remember.
The story of Nevuah is not necessarily clear. Sometimes interpretly what they
correct. Say. So you see something, and you have to interpret exactly. So this is even more bizarre. Not only is it clear what he's seeing, and he's interpreting the Merkava, and he sees what the Churban. And he sees all of these events. He also sees Hashem speaking to him. And he sees himself relaying the exact message to the people. And then, as I was speaking to them, I also saw suddenly that this person dropped dead. Okay, let's see, one more time those words.
Are you speaking only of dreams that involve Nevuah? Or
Nevuah.
Other dreams that are...
No, let's talk about Nevuah. Let's talk about prophecies. And
because
the Sefer HaNevi'im.
There are other dreams in which they see themselves personally.
For example,
Sarhamashkin,
they see Echanan, right? There they see themselves. Very good. Okay, but as a prophet, you don't typically get this type of situation. Does not come up often. Kasher nabesi hanavuah shehi ki b'mara hanavuah hoye niru loy ki ilu misnabeh hadavar hazeh appeared to him as if he was giving over the prophecy. V'chasher tziva loy hamakam Kemosha Kosov Lamala, Lachain Hinabi Alehem, and then what happened as he's giving over these words of prophecy? Suddenly, Upal Toyohu, A Echad Min Hasorim, Shamdu Bepesach Hashar, where there were 25 men standing in the Azara, and the Psukim specified two of them. One of them, his name was Pilat Yohu, Echad Min Hasorim, Shamdu Bepesach Hashar, Mace, Misa Pis Oimis, a sudden death. Paul, I fell down. At that moment, I bowed down to be mispalel. That was my purpose. And I said, Hashem, Hashem, what are you doing? Are you going to bring kola, osa, ata, isa, vichi, ata, isa, kola, es, sheris, lebal, yoiser, me? Are you going to bring utter destruction that no one will remain? The al sheru. Now, why did what provoked him to make such a statement? The al sheru, mes, pisom. So the question over here is, why is Yechezkel saying, are you going to bring utter destruction? There are 24 people still left from this group. And certainly from the entire Klal Yisrael, there are many people left. So why did Yechezkel assume that everyone's going to die? So the answer is, that's exactly what the Mitzudah is coming to address, that since he died suddenly, he took this as a sign that just like he died suddenly, everyone else will die suddenly as well. Okay, there's a lot more to be focused on. First of all, Chazal say that it's not a good thing for a person to die in Misa Pisoimis, sudden death. It's a very frightful way to die. Not because, I mean, many people say you're very lucky. You don't have to suffer. Like people in Mutzuzach for years. But the silver lining not to die immediately is it allows the person to reflect. Allows the person to reflect on his life and to do tshuva before he meets his maker. A person that can reflect, and the person, Rachman Leslan, dies pesimist, does not have that opportunity that's lost forever. And we have no idea how this affects the neshama. These things are way beyond us. But obviously here, it was extremely disturbing to Yechezkel that he should see a person die suddenly. Chazal said that until the time of Yaakov Avinu, people did indeed die suddenly. I mean, even though it's a little bit strange because Avraham Ahiki Zokain, I mean, I guess the people they knew that they were coming towards the end of their life. There was no illness. Yaakov Avinu, Chazal say, was the first.
They're getting old.
They were slowing
old,
down. Okay.
They look older, but they didn't feel old.
The first one to look old was Avraham, because until that time, Avraham and Yitzchak, they looked identical. People would confuse Avraham with Yitzchak. Avraham was 100 years older than Yitzchak. Yitzchak was born when Avraham was 100 years old, and then he would let's say he was 20 years old. So that means Avraham was 120 and Yitzchak was 20 years old. And the Medrash says they looked identical. You cannot differentiate between Avraham and Yitzchak. Very bizarre. The genes were different. So Avraham was mispal. It's not a good thing that people should not age. Okay, I'm sure today everyone in the world disagrees with Avraham Avinu. But that's what happened. And Hashem says in the Medrash, Hashem brought into this world this concept where people, they look their age. That's a novel. That was a bakasha tefillah from Avraham Avinu. The first one to get sick, and before they would die, to get weak, was Yaakov. And that's why it says, V'hinei avicha choyle. It was told to Yosef, behold, your father is ill. Why does it say the word hinei? Hinei has the connotation, the unexpected. Nothing like this ever happened before. And Chazal said that's a very good thing. Now although Chazal said it's a good thing, it's not. The Gemara is very clear. It's 3 days. It's not good to be sick for more than 3 days. More than 3 days already is called Yisurim. But 3 days, according to Chazal, is the proper amount of time a person needs to reflect as to what is happening, to prepare himself and to do tshuva before he leaves this world. But for a person to die suddenly is a very it's a horrible thing, and that's what Yechezkel here is extremely disturbed about. Let's see first see Rashi, and then we'll come back to some of the Mefarshim. Rashi, Pasik, Yud, there is no Rashi, Radak, Pasik, Yud, Gimel, Vayi, Ki, Nabi, Bechof, what's Kihi Navi? Kasher Hoisi Misnabe, Reisi Shemes Pilat Yahu Ben Bino Yahu. I saw this person die, and Yirmi Yechezkel said to Hashem, Kol Ato Isa, Derech Sheila. The Avav Yishain Bo Hei, even though there's no Hei Haidia, Hei Hashela Kamo, Erdoif Achre Hagidur Hazeh, Ato Zebni Esa, Vahadoimim Lohem, Umi Shetso, it doesn't matter, because we have other examples in Tanakh where there is no Hei Hasha'ela, and according to the context of the pasuk, it means it's a question. Why did he cry? Now here Radak is getting some more information. Why was he disturbed? He was a Rasha, and he was from the leaders of the people. Omar ki ula yaseh teshuva. Maybe he would do tshuva. V'akele onel litzakos. So Dava Hashem did not answer anything to his bakasha.
Who are you talking about? Himself?
Pilat Yohu. Yechezkel was mole rachamim. Yechezkel was hoping that Pilat Yohu would still do teshuva. would still do tshuva. So he was this according to Radak. After this one important piece of information, which we're going to come back to in one moment, Pilatyahu ben Binayahu was a Rasha. He was a Rasha. He was part of the 25 people that was doing the terrible avera of bowing down to the sun at the same time that he was defecating in front of the Hechel. He was a Rasha. Yet, and this act of rishus, as we saw before, Hashem described in the most intense terms, you're sending for the Zemoira El Apam. It was a very intense expression of a very intense complaint Hashem had against these 25 people. Yet, Yecheskel was disturbed that he also should be given time to do teshuva. Maybe if he would get sick, he would suddenly come down with some type of illness. He would reflect that what he has done is not proper and would do tshuva, and that would be some form of inspiration to everyone else also to do tshuva. The fact that Hashem took him, suddenly denied him of doing tshuva, there was an opportunity that was lost from Klal Yisrael. This is the interpretation of the Radak. And he cried because Hashem did not answer. Hashem says, I don't care, I'm taking him suddenly. They've come to a point where I'm going to deny you the opportunity to do teshuva. Who is the precedent for this? Paro. Vayechabed Hashem eslave Paro. Hashem hardened his heart, which implies, according to most of the commentators, that if Hashem would not have given him an extra dosage, an extra injection of stubbornness, Paro would have come around. Paro would have done teshuva, would have allowed the Jewish people to go free. Hashem says, you don't deserve the opportunity to do teshuva. You've selected so many times to do averos, and therefore we have no choice, but this has to be the outcome. Okay, now, the truth is, what Radak has said is controversial, because in essence, there is a Gemara that says, there's a machlokes if this person, Pilatyo ben Binayahu, was a tzaddik or was a Rasha. And one opinion in the Gemara says he was a tzaddik. What did he do? What act of righteousness did he do? There was a king in a local city called Meshon. I do not know if that's part of Eretz Yisrael, not part of Eretz Yisrael, or it's part of the Umos Olam. And the king of Meshon was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. And I don't know the details. I tried to decipher, but I don't have the time to really decipher this well. But it seems that this king of Meshon, who was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar, demanded from the Jewish people, Pilatyahu, that they should hand over servants, slaves, to the people of Meshon, because in Meshon there was a shortage of labor. They needed people to run all of the businesses, so they needed some slaves. So they went to Yerushalayim. They needed whatever you want to call it. And they went to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim already was already conquered, was already besieged. I don't know the details by Nebuchadnezzar at that point in time. I don't know the exact details. But he was, maybe we'll call the Secretary of Defense. So I don't know. He was in charge of all of the servants. All of the servants in Eretz Yisrael, this fellow Pilatyahu ben Binayahu. And a request was made of him by the king of Meshon, who was a representative of Nebuchadnezzar, especially being his son-in-law, especially being his son-in-law. Give over, we want, let's say, 10,000 slaves. So he sent him 10,000 non-Jews. He could have sent him 10,000 Jews, 10,000 non-Jews. I guess they had whatever, people living near the land. So the king of Meshon said, why didn't you send me the Jews? Why are you sending me these inferior quality servants? Okay, you should send me some high quality slaves, meaning the Jews themselves. So he said, no, it's not a kavod for Nebuchadnezzar, because we here are serving, because if we're going to give you Meshon, which is a second, it's not such an important city, I'm just extrapolating what I think what he means over here in the Gemara, then it's better that we should serve as slaves here in Yerushalayim. That way we're serving directly Nebuchadnezzar. If we're going to give the Jews to Meshon, then we're moving from the service of Nebuchadnezzar, the high quality slaves, for something that is not so important, something along those lines, something like that. So, and that was not really true. That wasn't really the reason. That wasn't the reason why, the reason didn't make that much sense. He made up this whole convoluted logic in order to save the Jews from being deported. That was his main kavana. It seems that he was moiser nefesh to do this, to pull off this stunt, this technique of saving the Jews by coming up with some type of policy or some type of decision by the judiciary. Whatever he did, he was moiser nefesh, but his prime kavana was to save the Jews, and for that he was called tzaddik in Hashem's eyes. And Yirmiyah and Yechezkel was aware of this, and therefore Yechezkel thought that the last person of this group that were to die would be this person, Pilatyo ben Binoyo. Now, does that mean that he was also bowing down? That's not discussed. Maybe it means that he, because it says there were 25 people bowing down, and it says ki Eshrim v'chamisha. So does that mean that he was also bowing down, doing this terrible avera? Yet even though he did that terrible avera, he was still called a tzaddik. A tzaddik can also do an avera once in a while. Okay, you let him do an avera once, but he's still called a tzaddik. And therefore, Yechezkel thought from the last one that would die from this group would be this person. So when he sees that Hashem took him first, and worse, Hashem took him suddenly, without any warning whatsoever, so Yechezkel was very disturbed. Hashem, you're taking away from us the land. Now, also, it makes very much more sense in the pasuk, because the pasuk says, "Kola ata oisa eis she'eris Yisrael." You're doing this to the remnant of the Jewish people. In other words, who's the she'eris? The tzaddikim. Okay, that's the shidushal mikvah. The leaders were Rishar mostly, but if you want it, the she'eris. What do you mean? There are. But the tzaddikim. The she'eris Yisrael refers to we have here a very big problem. In the population, let's say of 1 million people, there are only a handful number of tzaddikim. Those handful number of tzaddikim are the she'eris Yisrael. Hashem, you're going to take them away also. What hope do we have then? To have then, if you're going to take the tzaddikim away. So these are the different mahalchim in understanding this pasuk. The gengen, the main to review very quickly. The main thing we have to know, number one, is Pilatyahu, is he a tzaddik or is he a rasha? There's a machlokes in the Gemara. The next question is, Yirmiyah was, he died a misa pisoimis. So you have to understand, if he's a Rasha, why is Pisaimus a bad thing? He did not have an opportunity to do Teshuvah. If he's a Tzaddik, it's also a terrible thing, it's not the same reason doing Teshuvah, because a Tzaddik does not need to do Teshuvah, because a Tzaddik is a Tzaddik, but it's still very disturbing that a Tzaddik should die Pisaimus. It appears, like I remember now recalling from the art school, it appears like less din v'less dayan, because Hashem, even when a person suffers, the person has great satisfaction, great nechama, if he can see logic in his suffering. When something is not going well, if you can at least understand why, the purpose, that itself can get you through it. But when you don't have any reason why it happens, and it's this intense degree of hester panim, it's very, very painful. So when a tzaddik dies pesimis, It's very disturbing. How could such a thing happen to a tzaddik? Where are his zechusim, his Torah and mitzvahs? Why were they not making at least that he should have the advantage of every other person of calling together his family, saying goodbye to them? You know, today people they make videos of themselves to be played at their funerals. Okay, they make videos like, you know, you want to say goodbye and thank this one, thank that one. There's something to it. I mean, you don't do this among the Haredi community. But you know, there's something to it. There's definitely something to it. Is the ability to properly reflect and say your goodbyes. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayehi Devar Hashem Elai Lema Ben Adam. Now here we're going to come to. Okay, so another idea. Ben Adam, man. Achecha, achecha. Here it says it twice. Two different expressions. Anshei Geula Sech. Really, three expressions. Your brethren. Or your brother, the people of Geula Sechulasech is a term which means your relatives. The reason why we call Geula a relative is because of the halacha in the Torah that if a person sells his ancestral land, his closest relative has an obligation to redeem it. Geula tihiyelo, echad me echav yigolenu. So therefore the pasuk here is borrowing from that expression, your people of your relatives. Three different expressions, which we're going to describe in one moment, refers to the Aseres Hashvatim, who were exiled in three waves, first the people in the Ever Hayarden, Ruvein, Gad, Chatzis, Shevet, Menashe, and then the people along the Yam, Zvulon and the Shatim over there, and then the third wave of exiles was everyone else. So therefore we break up the three waves of exile of the Aseres HaShvatim into three distinct terms. Achecha, Achecha, Anshei Geula Secha, the whole base Yisrael Kulo, and then he adds another expression referring to the entire, the collective Klal Yisrael, Asher, concerning which, Asher, Amru Lohem Yoshvei Yerushalayim. And this is a very fascinating historical pasuk, telling us the attitude the people of Yerushalayim had towards the Aseres HaShvatim. The people who were living in Yerushalayim, which Shevet Yehuda and Yamin, when they looked at the Aseres HaShvatim, they said about them, they're gone, and good for them. They got what they deserved, and as far as we're concerned, we never want to see you again. You should assimilate and disappear off the face of the earth. Now, if not for this pasuk to say such a thing, you would need a very strong makar. Who says that the people of Yerushalayim had such a nasty attitude towards their brethren who went into Galus? That's exactly what it says. They say about them, Rachaku mi'al Hashem, they have distanced themselves from Hashem, and therefore, listen to this, goodbye and good riddance. And if things get better here in Eretz Yisrael, who do you think is going to possess your land? Us. In other words, we're going to take over your homes, your land, your property. Eretz Yisrael is a big place. Yehuda and Yamin, they're only living in Yerushalayim. The whole Eretz Yisrael is a massively large place. Who's living there right now? Either no one, or the Asher, he put in the Kushim. The Kushim were imported to occupy the land. But the people in Yehuda and Binyamin said, just a matter of time until we multiply, and we will conquer the land and take it for ourselves. Why didn't Yehuda and Binyamin say, no, we're going to wait for our brothers, the Aseres HaShvatim, to return back to Eretz Yisrael and take the land and take back their old property? No. Rachaku mi'al Hashem, lanu hi nidna haaretz, to us is the aretz l'mayrasha, as an inheritance. This pasuk is an amazing pasuk. It's just a shocking pasuk. No one would ever dare say such a thing unless you have a pasuk to say such a thing, that they had such a horrible attitude towards the Aseres HaShvatim. Goodbye, good riddance, you'll never come back, you're goners, and we're going to take over your land.
Maybe this is the beginning of Sinas Chinam.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a sin. Now, why exactly is that? So what's the logic behind this? Let's see the Mefarshim. There's a lot going on over here. Pasuk Tezvav. First, we have to describe why we have three terms to describe the Aseres HaShvatim. Achecha, Achecha, Anshei Gulosecha, Omar Sholosh Pamim. Echad Neged Golos Eretz Zivulun V'Eretz Naftali, B'mei Pekach Ben Rimal Yohu. That was the first, that was one wave of the exiles. The people of Zvulun and Naphtali in the days of the king Pekach ben Remaliah. He was the king of Yisrael. And he, Kumosha Kosov in Melachim. And that was the first wave of exiles. V'yechad neged golus anshei Ever Hayarden. They were a second wave of exiles. Kumosha Kosov Diver Hayamim. V'yechad neged golus. Now here he says golus. Here he's saying something different. He's saying the third wave is Golus Yehuda b'mei Yehoyakim u'b'mei Yehoyachin. There are four. Then this is the Golus of that took place in the days of Yehoyakim and Yehoyachin. There were three different exiles of Yehuda Binyamin. There was the time of Yehoyakim, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were part of that first wave of exiles. There was the Golus of the b'mei Yehoyachin, 10,000 people, the Choresh v'Hamasker, and the third Golus of Tzidkiyahu. So we're not addressing now the third Golus, and according to the Mitzudos, in his understanding, we're grouping together the Golus of Yehoyakim and the Golus of Yehoyachin together as one group. And then when it says really for the fourth time, the whole base Yisrael Kulo, who are Golus HaKloli, Bimei Hoysheya Ben Elah, this was the third wave of exiles from Ashur, from Sancheirith. So, according to what I've just read in the Mitzudos, really not, they're not really three terms, they're really four terms. Achecha, Achecha, Anshei Geulasecha, and number four, V'chol Beis Yisrael Kulo. Anshei Gula Secha is exclusively being used in reference to Yehuda and Binyamin in much more recent times. Achecha, those are the two parts of the exiles of the Aseres HaShvatim, but the major exile of the Aseres HaShvatim is what is referred to in V'chol Beis Yisrael Kuloi at the end of this expression. We're going out of order chronologically. Why is he going out of order chronologically? I do not know. He's going Aseres HaShvatim, Aseres HaShvatim, Yehuda Binyamin, Aseres HaShvatim. The Yehuda Binyamin took place over 200 years since the godless of the Aseres HaShvatim. So why is he going back and forth in this order? I do not know. Obviously because the expression Gula Secha is something which is unique, or something which is more powerful, which he wants to refer to Yehuda Binyamin. Okay, the next words are Asher Amru Lohem. Okay, now what does this mean? Asher Yoshe Yerushalayim. The people of Yerushalayim Amru al kol anshei hagaluyos ha'ela hinei him rachaku me'al Hashem mimigdasho. The people living in Yerushalayim, Yehuda ben Yamin, they said about the Aseres HaShvatim, they have been distanced from our land, from the base, from Hashem. They're no longer Jews. They're no longer servants of Hashem. They no longer have a connection to the base of Migdash. The hishlicham le'aretzos rechaykos have cast them to faraway lands. V'lo yashkiach bohem me'ata. And they do not pay attention from them at all. Hashem has no concern for these Jews. The whole Eretz Yisrael bechlala nasnu lanu l'marasha, and therefore it's to our advantage. We will now be able to possess the entire land. Va'nachnu neshev bekula ad oylam. We're going to live there forever. Ve'imkein smechem heim bi'etzarasam. And look what it says over here. The people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, they had joy in the tzara of the Aseres HaShvatim. The Choshim L'Reshes HaTzom, they wanted to possess their lands. The Choymer Eich Imkein Titzak Al Mois HaAnashim HaRosham HaHaima. And therefore, that's Hashem's response to Yecheskel. Yecheskel, you're upset that I'm killing these people suddenly? They deserve to be killed suddenly because they're such great Rishahim. What's the greatest act of Rishus you can possibly have? First of all, we have to clarify. Is it a greater act of rishus, Adam lachaveray or Adam lamakayim? There's no question. Adam lachaveray. Adam lachaveray was always much worse than Adam lamakayim. So what's the greatest act of rishus you could have against your friend? What, to rob him, to steal him, to that's terrible. But the worst thing is to have simcha, to have joy in his tzara. When you see your friend, when someone sees his friend is having tzaras, ah, lachayim. Make a kiddush. I rejoice in his downfall. That's the worst possible thing a person can do. And Hashem has said that's exactly what they're doing here in Yerushalayim. They rejoice over the downfall, the defeat, the korban of the Aseres HaShvatim. And the proof is, they can't wait to take their property, to repossess their land.
How is the Mitzvah learning Pshat in the third Golas of Yehuda?
They're also goners. They're also goners. What do you mean?
No, but Anshei Yerushalayim are from Yehuda.
Doesn't matter. Anyone who left the land, anyone who's not part of this land, who has been exiled, is they're never coming back.
No, how's he saying four when the third one is really also part of Yehuda? That's what I'm saying.
What do you mean?
Anshei Yerushalayim is included in Yehuda.
No, they're not in Yehuda because they left. They're no longer living in Yehuda. They used to live in Yerushalayim. Yehuda and Binyamin used to live in Yerushalayim, but they've gone into exile. So they're no longer part of Yerushalayim. The people of Yerushalayim means the current residents of Yerushalayim are saying concerning those who are in Chutz
Liaretz. The ones that were left.
This pasuk coin is a Musar Teichachas. And sometimes, I don't know if it's true, but sometimes I get the impression that Israelis, they look down. They look down at people who live in Chutz Liaretz. People who are very proud Israelis, who are Moshe, and rightfully so. They're proud. They're Moshe Nefesh to live in the land. And when they hear about American Jews, you didn't make Aliyah. Why have you not made Aliyah? Where are you? This is where you belong in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, they're right. There's no question. There's a taina on every person, including. I mean, why are we all not picking ourselves up and going to Eretz Yisrael? So the Parnasa, this, that, and Echanami, that's why we're all here. But there's a certain attitude sometimes that comes across. I don't listen that much anymore, but I used to listen a lot more to tapes, you know, to Shiurim in the car and here at home and here and there. And like some speakers, sometimes you get that attitude. You get like an attitude of like, we were Moshe Nefesh, I made Aliyah, I'm here for 50 years, and my family, my grandchildren. It's not nice. It's not, and it's and like if the attitude is like that, rochaku mi'al Hashem, and therefore lanu hi nidna ha'aretz l'may rasha, Hashem is saying to talk like that about your Jews who are in chutz li'aret and say they're goners. It's a very big avera. It's a taina. Why, taka, don't we join them? Live there, you're right. But the people living there, you also have to be very careful not to be careful towards your attitude towards everyone else. The people who make those complaints obviously are not being supported by the people in chutz li'aret. Someone's told me that he said he has a son that learns in Eretz Yisrael. It's very not nice. He said to his son, and he supports his son. He supports his son learning Eretz Yisrael. I think he was very frustrated why he has to support his son learning Eretz Yisrael. So he told his son that whenever you eat a piece of bread, don't forget to make the bracha, Hamoitzi lechem min chutz li'aretz. Because his father was working chutz li'aretz, supporting him in Eretz Yisrael. So your bread is coming from chutz li'aretz.
My friend retired to Israel. I just saw him the other day, and he said he was with a couple, and he said, "Oh, you made Aliyah." He says, "I didn't make Aliyah. I retired to Israel. Aliyah is when you come at 20 and you're really involved." In
the real thing, right?
Instead of going to Florida, you went there to Israel. It's not the same thing.
Okay, the real thing is the Mesiras Nefesh. So this is a very important pasuk to keep in mind. Pasuk, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, "Tezvav achecha achecha, galus shaymrain v'galus yechanya v'chol beis yishol sholchu b'agayla." So here he doesn't really break it up. The deeper masculine just two words times the word achecha. Shaymrain, that's the Aseres HaShvatim. Shaymrain was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim. V'galus yechanya. Okay, he does not mention the galus of Yehoyakim. The galus of Yechanya, which is from Yehuda, the whole base Yisrael shaholchu ba'goyla, everyone else who went into galus. Asher amru lohem. Now, what does this mean? Asher amru aleihem yoishu Yerushalayim shelo galu im Yechanya. Shehim lech aleihem Nebuchadnezzar et Zedekiyahu. The people who did not go into galus, they said concerning those who did go into galus, v'yata gam he mash mesachakim al acheihem. They're rejoicing over the tsar of their brethren, shagalu v'yomrim aleihem rachaku me'al Hashem. Same idea as the mitzvah does not go into such detail, but they're happy over the tsar, the suffering of their brothers. Let's see what it says in the Radak Pasuk Tezvav. Okay, the Radak vayhi ben adam achecha achecha anshei geula secha. Omar shalosh pamim legolus b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvain u'legolus shomron u'legolus Yehoyachin. Now notice the Radak, he puts the order different order. First he says Gad and b'nei Ruvain first. That's not what the Mitzudos said. The Mitzudos put first Zevulon and Naphtali. So he says the first wave of exiles was chronologically, that's how it happened, was Gad and b'nei Ruvain, Eber HaYarden. Next is Golus Shomrayim, and that's not Naphtali and Yehuda, that's the Golus, the general Golus, that's what Rashi Mitzudel said came at the very end. Ul Golus Yehoyachin, V'chaza Uchlolam V'chol Beis Yisrael Kula. Okay, so he's not saying it's a fourth exile, he's coming, it's the collective, now we are in review, we're putting them all together. So according to obviously each one of the commentators is learning these four expressions a little bit differently. The samach in zelamashal yoimer, what it says, benos benot batim hi hasir v'anachnu abos. So this is a continuation we said before, where the people would say that we're going to be here forever. We're not going to galus. The city is a pat, and we are the meat. Shayu choyshem sheyu loolam b'soicha. We're going to be here in Yerushalayim forever. And you who have gone into exile, you're finished. Rachaku mi'al Hashem. Oysam shegilisam. Those who have gone into galus. Rachaku mi'al Hashem kolaymar. Me'al admas Hashem shi'admas ha'kodesh. Kilanu hi nidnu ha'aretz l'may rasha. It's now been given to us exclusively as an inheritance. Lo yilachem shegilisam. Not to you shegilisam imena. Rachaku is tzivu, now it goes to some grammar. Tzivu, pei hapoil pesucha, zapatach, rachkumo, v'shachatu haposach, v'amar hi, v'achakach amar ha'aretz, kakinu koidim ha'yidiyah kumo v'atir'eyu es ha'yelot v'hadim lo. Now, if he's saying it's a tzivu, I think that changes the meaning of the pasuk. That means, good. Basically, they're saying good riddance. Rachaku, not in the past tense. I thought it was the past tense. In the art scroll, let me see how they translate. In the art scroll, Pasuk 15. Yeah, it's a command. Distance yourselves. Distance yourselves. It's a command. And the Mitsudos, how does he translate one more time? Pasuk Tezvav. He says, Asher Amru Lohem. Hinehem Rachaku Miyal Hashem Mikdashim. He doesn't translate this as a command. The Mitsudos stuff, it appears to commit, translated in the past tense. They have distanced themselves from Hashem and from his Beis HaMikdash. But it appears from the Radak, based upon his rules of grammar, that this is an insulting statement. Oh, you left. Good. Why don't you go even further? Good riddance. Go further. Don't even think of coming back. Rachaku.
Who is speaking?
The people of Yerushalayim are speaking. That's clear. Okay. The people are, but are they reflecting or are they speaking directly? Well, according to the Mitsudos, they're reflecting. Those people, oh, they're long gone. They're long gone. They're never coming back. So we can take their land. According to the Radak, no, they are addressing them.
Because otherwise it would have read
Rachaku with the komatz. Exactly. That's exactly what the Radak says. But that's not what the Mitsudos says. The Mitsudos says, even though the Mitsudos is not coming to disagree with the vowels, it's Rachaku, but he translates the words to mean the
people.
It's also the past tense. Israchaku. Israchaku means that's the past tense. In Hanami, very good. So that also sounds like the Mitsudos is that they're reflecting. Our brethren, they're long gone. We can now possess their property. Whereas according to the Radak, they are addressing the people in Chutz Liaretz, and they're saying, Rachaku, go even further. Get lost. Don't even think about coming back. You abandon Hashem by leaving, by going into exile. It's because of your Averos. It's a Simon Hashemayim, and therefore, there's no hope for you. Okay, let's now see. Let's now go to the next Pasuk. Okay, the next Pasuk is Pasuk Tes Zayin. L'chein, therefore, emor. Therefore, Hashem says, I want you, Yecheskel, to deliver the following message. Ki hirchaktim bagoyim. Now, here we have some beautiful psukim. Okay, there aren't that many nice psukim in Yecheskel. I mean, there are some, but we have over here some of the nicer psukim in the entire Sefer. Therefore, Hashem says, it's not so. Don't say, just because you find yourselves in Golos, you should know, I am with you. Imoy anochi b'tzara. I'm going to rest my Shechina among you in a Mikdash Ma'at, and I'm going to assist you in doing Teshuvah. I'm going to take away from you the Yetzirah, and I'm going to cure you from your Averos and purify you, and I'm going to bring you back one day to Eretz Yisrael. So here we go through all these Pesukim. Just because you find yourselves dispersed and pushed far among the nations, and you have been dispersed among the lands, do not worry. I will be for them as a minor mikdash, asher bohu sham. One of the most fundamental pesukim in the entire Tanakh. Okay, for us, we live in Chutz Liaretz, and our entire lives revolve around the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMidrash. What would a Jewish community be without the Beis HaKnesses? I think we learned in the Aruch HaShulchan that it's more important to have a Beis HaKnesses than even to give money to the people, to give money for tzedakah. The most fundamental thing that a community needs to be on the map is a Beis HaKnesses. There has to be a central location where people come together to daven, and that comes before giving money to people who are starving. People, mamish, don't have what to eat. You know what? They're on the streets and they're starving, and there's no Beis HaKnesses. You have to build the Beis HaKnesses first.
How about mikveh?
What?
Maybe mikveh.
Not even mikveh. I don't even think mikveh. I think the Beis HaKnesses is the first thing, because if there's not going to be a Beis HaKnesses, there won't be people to feed anyway. It's not going to make a difference. You'll feed the people. There'll be no one to feed the next day. The most important thing in the laws of tzedakah to establish a community is there must be. You don't have to have marble. You don't have to have woodwork and fancy tables and chairs, right? You have to have just at least a basic makom where everyone comes together. That is the most critical thing, and that comes what it says over here, mikdash ma'at. Now let's see the mefarshim. A lot of stuff on this pasuk. Let's first see the mitzvah of the pasuk Zayin. Mm-hmm. just because I have distanced them from my Beis HaMikdash, Umeyartzam, and from their Lein Liyos Goylim, the Imki Pizartim Ba'aratzoy So'amim, I have dispersed them among the nations. Aval Hinei Mehashkochosi Loyurach, beautiful words. Just because physically they have been distanced from the land, from the Beis HaMikdash, but they have not been distanced from my Hashkocha, from what's good, my providence, my care, my gaze, my involvement. The place where they come there, I will be for them as a mikdash ma'at. What does it mean? Ritzinu lemar, Ashre shechinasi bebatei hakenisios shalohem. I will rest my divine presence in their batei kenisios. Ve'imki rachaku min mikdashi. Although they have been distanced from my mikdashi, shu amikdash hagadol, asher b'Yerushalayim, yelohem b'mekoymai mikdash ma'at. I will be for them b'mekoymai as a mikdash ma'at, a small mikdash. Okay, let's first see Rashi. Le mikdash ma'at, le batei kinishta, a beis hakneses, the inan yasvin tinyon, that they will build there the beis makdisha as a beis hamikdash. You have a more precise translation, Rav Michal, in the your sefer.
Synagogues which are in a position second to the beis hamikdash.
Second, tinyon yasvin tinyon. Le beis makdisha ma'at is relative to the beis hamikdash. Mikdash is gadol, so beis hakneses is ma'at. Radak pasik tes zayin lochein ki hirchaktim ba'goyim v'yaf al pi chein loy azavtim. I have not abandoned them. Eloh yisil lechem lemikdash ma'at barat sos hashabo shama kolamar im rachku mimikdash Hashem shumikdash hagadol sham biyartso. Although they have been distanced from the mikdash hagadol, ani yelohem lemikdash ma'at kolamar bebatei kinisios shehei menoyadim sham lespal elai. In the batei kinisios they gather to pray. Ani imohem, I am with them. V'shomea kolam, I will hear their prayers. U'matzilam miyad oyvehem shloyasu bohem kol, I will not bring upon them destruction. I think he's got the word limikdash.
No, I think it's mikdash.
Mikdash, limikdash. That's what he wants to suggest.
That's a smichus.
That's what he's saying.
And there's no. What is smichus doing in here?
Patach shum samach limikdash ma'at. He says it's a smichus to ma'at.
That's what the Radak says.
So
how do you translate that?
Same way. No difference. There's no difference. A mikdash, that is minor, that is small. You're just saying that the proper vowel should be lemikdash, not lemikdosh.
I don't understand that.
What?
I don't understand. I don't see what point the smichus has here.
Because the word ma'at is defining the mikdash.
Ma'at is not a noun.
Ma'at is an adjective. It's defining the mikdash. Ma'at is not just an independent statement. What kind of mikdash? It's a mikdash that is ma'at. It's ma'at relative to Godol, the Beis HaMikdash. So the two words have to be put together. You cannot separate the word ma'at from the word mikdash. Therefore, grammatically, it should be lemikdash, not lemikdosh. Because lemikdosh with the commas is a connotation that you put a period right there. Lemikdosh, period. No. Ma'at.
No, the most it would be lemikdash ha-ma'at. Lemikdosh ha-me'at would be mikdash. But that doesn't work either.
I don't know. All I know is this over here. He seems to have a different year.
In the short form, when other letters would be inserted, and I don't see why that would be necessary.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know more when it says over here. It seems that he had a different girsa. Lemikdash ma'at patach ki samach lemilas ma'at. Kimat and then the toyar el shame. It's not a description.
He's calling it a noun.
It's an adjective.
It's a noun.
It's a noun. Yes.
Which is hard to understand.
That's
I don't know. El the kain mitzvah sihu b'ktzas sefon miduyakim.
This small.
It's part of the noun.
Yeah.
It's part of the noun. Mikdash Ma'alis, it's one noun. It's one expression. So therefore, if it's one expression, it should be a patach. Mikdash Ma'at. If it's going to be an adjective, then maybe there is room to say it should be Mikdash Ma'at. That's what it says. Kach kein motzaz mitzosihu biktzas sefadim
midiyakim. When we use it in the popular expression, what do we say?
The way we have Mikdash Ma'at.
That's right.
Because that's what we have in our text. But that's the accepted text. But the Mitzudos is saying, the Radak is saying that there is another girsa, and in that girsa it's Lemikdash Ma'at, and the logic is it's one term. Both parts are parts of the noun. It's not an adjective describing a noun. It is a noun, because it is one noun which has two words which make up the noun. That's what he says. Mitzasir b'miksas sefarim miduyakim uv'miksas motzasi kamat. Some have found the word in mikdash. Im kain ma'at yihye toyar. Then the word ma'at becomes an adjective. The yoinasam tirgem v'havis lohon bote kinishta ki be'amud, as we said above. Okay, so whatever it is we have over here now, let me tell you what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says, what exactly is the Mikdash Ma'at? So we all assume it refers to what it says in the Targum, the Beis HaKnesses.
Or
Batei Midrashos. But the Gemara Masechet Megillah says a second thing, that it refers to Ze Beisoy Shel Rabbeinu, the home of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And what does it mean, Rabbeinu HaKadosh? It means, I guess, where he issued halachic decisions. People came to the home of Rabbeinu. Let me find the Gemara. One second.
It was
kind of
the government, because he was
Nasi. Maybe. Yeah. Midrashos, that's the first opinion. That should be Yitzchak. The Rabbi Elazar Omar, Ze Beis Rabbeinu Shebabel, the home of Rabbeinu. So, what exactly? How do the home of Rabbeinu differ than the Beis Medrash? So simply, you want to say it's authority. He was the Nasi, Malchus. The Malchus, the home, the position of Malchus was going to be a replacement for a Ma'at relative to the Beis HaMikdash, or it's not describing the
Beis
HaMikdash.
Maybe his involvement in the writing of the Mishnah. So that
a place of learning.
That makes it a super Beis HaMikdash.
But it's not a Beis, that's not a place to pray. The point is what does it mean, a Beis Rabbeinu? It's simply not a place to daven. We always commonly assume a Mikdash Ma'at is a place to daven. Because the main role of the Beis HaMikdash is Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah L'chol Amin.
Now, how about this? Just like we say Beis Hillel, it doesn't mean Hillel's house.
Right.
It means his yeshiva.
It means
so maybe
his yeshiva.
His Rebbe is his yeshiva.
His yeshiva, right. Or what you said originally, government.
Yeah.
Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the Nasi. It was the home of Malchus.
Right.
So these three different approaches has a very, very different translation of what is the Mikdash Ma'at. Now we started, is this Mikdash Ma'at, this really ties into what it says in the Radak. Is the word Ma'at coming to serve as a adjective to Mikdash? So, if you just take the word Mikdash, that refers to what? It refers to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was primarily a place to daven. So, Beis HaKnesses is also a place to daven, but the Shechina lacks the intensity of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore it's Mikdash Ma'at. That's the first interpretation of Rabbi Yitzchak. But maybe that's not what it means. We're not coming to compare what Mikdash Ma'at to the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. Mikdash Ma'at is an entirely different type of institution. It's a place of Malchus. It's a Mikdash, that's why it's a noun. Mikdash Ma'at, it's not relative to something else. There's no relativity here. We're describing over here, there is over here in Golis a place called the Mikdash Ma'at. What is that? That is the place of authority. The Malchus, the Nesius of Klal Yisrael, which was captured in the home of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Or, as you said, secondly, it refers to the place of Torah, of study, of Beis Medrash. That in Golis we're going to have a place.
Multiple
interpretations.
Each one of which is a Mikdash Ma'at.
And that's a Beis Medrash, not Tefillah.
Right.
Not Tefillah. Government is entirely different concept.
Or a Shul, which, all of those.
That's Tefillah.
And there are multiples of them.
Now we could also say, we also have to point out that the Beis HaMikdash was also the place of the Lishkas HaGozes. It wasn't just the place where they davened, it was also the place where Hoira,
right,
the legal halachic decisions came forth from Eretz Yisrael. So it's interesting is that we see, I think we get more of a flavor of what the Radak was trying to say when he said before in the two different Girsois. Is it Mikdash Me'at or is it Mikdosh Me'at? If it's Mikdosh Me'at, the only key word is Mikdosh. Mm-hmm. That automatically brings up, there is only one Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. There's also a Mikdosh, but it's minor. Then it has to be the same. And that's primarily going to be Tzilo. But if you want to say, no, there's a Mikdosh in Eretz Yisrael, here there's a whole new world. There's something called a Mikdash Me'at. It's not an adjective. It's a whole different concept. That fits better with the second interpretation of the Gemara Rabbi Eliezer that we're referring to Ze Beis Rabbeinu Shebabavel. It's a whole different category. Okay, now there's another very interesting medrash. I tried hard to decipher this, but I also had very difficulty understanding what the Gemara means.
Where is it?
This is a medrash Zuta in Shir HaShirim Perek Aleph Tezvav. And Pasik Hinoch Yofer Ayasi. And there, to make a long story short, the Gemara, the Medrash there says the word Me'at is a term Yeshakach v'Yeshir yesterday on such short notice.
Okay, I got a little bit of clock to sit down a little bit. He caught me in the car.
See how good he is. I can call him Mamash right before and he can give a share. Now, according to the Medrash Zuta, the word Me'at is a code word for tzedakah. Nothing more than tzedakah. Why is tzedakah called Me'at? Because Medrash says when a person gives tzedakah, typically he thinks he's not doing anything significant. I give a dollar. So for me, what's a dollar? The person is making $100,000. So no, you give someone a dollar. Okay, so what's the business? You give someone a dollar. So the one who gives it considers it to be ma'at. But the people on the receiving end, it's their lifeblood. It means everything to them. Actually, I went last year, I went like after Shavuos, before Shavuos. Like, every time I went there, I was there in Eretz Yisrael. I was there with my brother. And there, my brother is part of a shul where they have a adopt a koilel. I'm sure you've all seen the signs all over. Maybe some of you contribute. My brother had to go. He had to go. We were in the neighborhood. He had to go. They were having a function for the people from his shul were there in Eretz Yisrael, and they were going to the koilel. They were going to the koilel where they support. So my brother went, so I tagged along with him, and I went there to the koilel, and they had someone give a shiur. It was very nice, like a very nice person, very about covering the presentation. And I was talking to one of the fellows in the koilel, about 25 people in this koilel. It was a very intense chashva koilel. And he said to me, like, you don't understand that some of the people here in the koilel, there are 25 people, they're independently wealthy. They have people supporting them. But there are people in the koilel that this is their lifeline. The few dollars that they get from the koilel is all they got. And that's what pays the bills. And they live in poverty. They live in poverty, whatever the reasons are, and it supports their family. Food, basic necessities. The people in America don't realize, oh, so give over here, giving $100, giving $300, $500. Oh, another organization, Adopt the Koilel, they're probably giving to many, many tzedakas, they give another. For them, it's ma'at. But the people on the receiving end, it's not ma'at. Their life depends upon. That's really exactly what it says here in the Medrash. The Medrash is the question, Uketana hi tzedakah? Is tzedakah called ketana? Throughout Chazal, it's called the greatest thing you can possibly do. So, and v'lama nemar kima'ot, Ela shiketana mipnei osa. It's small in the eyes of the one who does it. Ki anoy sein iser a dinar a sela, a person who gives a small coin, enoy medame laatzmai shenoytel olav socher, does not pay attention, does not believe he will be rewarded, will be receive reward. What am I doing? I'm giving you a few dollars. Avol lefnei hamakom hi gedayla. But before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you're doing is a very great act of kindness because the people need the money. Now again, I told you, I don't understand all these. There's a lot of psukim here, a lot of links connecting everything together. But he quotes the pasuk about in Sodom. And it says here in this pasuk, Lule Hashem Tzivakois, Hoyser Lanu Sorit, Kimeot Kistom Hayinu. Now what does that mean? This pasuk in Yeshaya, the famous pasuk in Yeshaya, if not for the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu left over us over a small, a sorit means a remnant. A remnant, Kimeot, that is few in number, we would be like Sidom, meaning we would be obliterated off the face of the earth with no record that we ever existed. When Hashem destroyed Yerushalayim, Hashem could have wiped us out to the degree there would be no record that we ever existed. But Hashem had Rachmanis, He left us over a sorid kime'ot, a two words which mean the same thing. Sorid means
survivor.
Kime'ot, few, a small survivor. If the pasuk would have said only one of these two words, it would have sufficed. If Hashem tzivakos hasolanu kimeot, or would just say hasolanu sorid kistom hayinu. So why is there verbosity? Why is there the word sorid and meot? Along comes this medrash. I don't understand every detail of this medrash, but it says it's telling you that the reason why Hashem made gave us, we survived, is because of the zuchus of kime'ot, of tzedakah. In Sodom, there was no tzedakah. Sodom, it was against the law, it was illegal to give tzedakah. Socialism, no tzedakah. Okay, no tzedakah. Everyone is whatever its situation is, whatever that means. But because we gave tzedakah in Yerushalayim, we were fulfilled kime'ot. In that merit, we're not going to be like Sodom. Hashem allowed us to survive. How do we know the word kime'ot is a code word for tzedakah? So that he goes on to explain other psukim. I don't have those other psukim. I don't understand what he's saying over here, but he proves that the word ma'at is a code word for tzedakah. And the reason why it's called ma'at is because the one who gives tzedakah typically does not think he has done anything significant. Now, when you take that, and the Medrashir is going and you plug that into the pasuk, something of an amazing idea, V'ahi lohem l'mikdash ma'at. I will be for them as a mikdash ma'at. What he seems to be saying is that in Galus, Hashem will Hashem Shechina will be in Galus where we establish tzedakah organizations. Not like we said before, a Beis HaKnesses, not a Beis Medrash, not the place of Malchus, the Nesiyas of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. V'ilohem, I will be for them. I don't know how the lamed fits in. L'mikdash ma'at. I'm now sending you out into Galus. I'm going to disperse you. I'm going to distance you among all the lands. You want to find me? You can find me in the office of your local tzedakah organization. Kupa Sa'ir, Keren Aniyim, whatever you want to say, whatever institution you want to give, Bikur Cholim, wherever you find a place where there is a mikdash that's ma'at, a sanctuary that's designated to give tzedakah, that is where v'ahi lohem, I will be for them. I can be found over there. In that merit, you'll connect with me. Okay, so that is another interpretation of mikdash. So we start with this review, because taking over here, way from over here, a lot of things. Such a very, very popular word. L'mikdash ma'at. We have to first understand, appreciate that the context of where the term l'mikdash ma'at is being said. It's being said in reference to what? So review this, is very powerful. It's being said to the people of Yerushalayim that rejoiced over the downfall of the Aseres HaShvatim and the people who went into Galus. You are goners. You'll never see you again. Goodbye, good riddance, good luck. You're finished. Hashem says to the people of Yerushalayim, how dare you say that about them? I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be with them where? L'mikdash me'ot. Okay, that's yisod number one. Yisod number two. Is it l'mikdash me'ot or is it l'mikdash me'ot? If it's l'mikdash me'at, there's only really one term. It's a mikdash. And then me'ot is an adjective. That means whatever this mikdash is, it's relative to what is found in Yerushalayim. That's if the girsa is limit, the way we have the text, limikdosh ma'at. But if the girsa, as the Mitzuda says, the Mitzvah Miduyakim is, the Radak says, limikdash me'ot, it's a whole different concept. It's one word, it's one term. Nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. A mikdash ma'at. That's one yisod. Next, the Gemara. What is the mikdash ma'at? Well, we assume it's the base ha'kneses. Not so fast. That's Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Eliezer says, Ze base midrasha shel Rabbeinu. What is base midrasha shel Rabbeinu? Three interpretations. Either it means a place of Torah, a place of Malchus, and what a place of Hoira, of halachic decision. Okay, a place of Torah or a place of a place of Chesed. Then we have the other idea of lemikdash me'ot. Me'ot is the code word. Me'ot is a word for tzedakah, like it says concerning Sodom. If not for the fact that Hashem has kind to us, we will be a sodded me'ot, and there it means tzedakah. Hashem is saying, I'm going to be found in Golis among you in a place where you establish institutions of tzedakah.
We don't see that the Anshei Yerushalayim were punished for their attitude. But maybe yes, because
they were destroyed. They were destroyed. The whole Yerushalayim were not even punished. They were destroyed. 6 years later, they came to an end.
But not for you. I'll be for them. Maybe you could say that.
Lahem for them.
But not for you.
And for you, what was going to happen to you? They were killed. Yeah. The vast majority of them were killed in the Churban. Yeah. All right, so we'll stop over here with Pasuk Yud Zayin.